You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Sheikh Imam is not a familiar name to most of us. Born in Egypt and blind from childhood, he became a popular singer in his country and throughout the Arab world. In 1962, he teamed up with a poet, and together they formed a duo whose music was considered a hymn to justice by Egyptians who struggled for democratic rights and social change. But since the end of the Sadat regime some 25 years ago, the movement for democratization in Egypt has been stilled. But a year and a half ago, there was a revival, one which is shaking the current government. Ehab Lotayef is an Egyptian engineer who came to Montreal in 1989. Ehab is a poet, an activist, and a founder of Canadian Egyptians for Democracy, and we've reached him at his home in Montreal. Good morning, Ehab, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
What initially brought the people back into the streets?
I think the first thing that brought the people back in the streets is the increasing talk about Mubarak getting ready to pass the presidency to his son. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back when the talk about this, let's call it a rumor or let's call it a plan, started to evolve. People said that they can wait no more, and a coalition of groups of individuals, actually not united by any particular ideology, but more united by their want for democracy and for free elections in a liberal society, came together, and they took the slogan Kifaya, which in English translates to enough, or maybe more strongly, enough is enough. And they took to the streets, and that was in the middle of 2004. And they started to be more vocal and started slowly over the past year and a half to 2 years to gain more support by the mainstream society. And of course, the political events that happened throughout those last year and a half made them stronger and stronger.
And what are the key points in the evolution of that movement over the last couple of years?
I think that Mubarak felt the pressure of the people, and I think that his allies, majorly the United States, wanted to show a fake move towards democracy, to silence this revolt and get the people quiet and stabilize his regime, which is in their benefit. I don't believe at all that real democracy or the freedom of the Egyptian people is in the interest or in the thoughts of the American administration. But anyway, what happened is that Mubarak tried to do a con move in which he introduced a constitutional reform that would allow, theoretically, a multi-candidate presidential election, which was not the case since the 1952 revolution in Egypt. The presidential choice was done by the parliament and just forwarded to people on a yes or no referendum. So he amended the constitution to allow for a multi-candidate presidential elections. But when people saw the content of this amendment, they realized that it's a total fake amendment. It would not lead to anything except cosmetics. And at the end of the day, it's business as usual. The conditions that were put on anybody to be able to run as a candidate were nearly crippling. So nobody at the end of the day would be able to run against Mubarak, and nobody would be able to prepare to poise himself as a serious candidate under those conditions. The referendum was held on these constitutional amendments was held on May 25th of 2005. And all the civil society and even the whole population wasn't at all interested in that referendum. The turnout was announced to be quite high, but was always doubted by people. And people took to the streets again, asking for a boycott of this constitutional referendum, asking for real constitutional reforms. And the judges who were supposed to officially oversee all election processes in Egypt, much later than that, actually, but they had started to talk about the irregularities that marred the process of this constitution referendum. After the constitution referendum had passed and the elections, the presidential elections themselves happened early in the fall, followed by the parliamentary elections in December and the repetitions in January of this year, there was always discontent by the people. There was always police violence against the demonstrators. There were always irregularities. There was always banning people or disallowing people from getting to the polling stations if they're not known to support the ruling party. And all that made the movement grow stronger and stronger over the year. And at the end, the government felt the stress because of what's happening, and they decided to subjugate the two most vocal of the judges that spoke about the irregularities in the electoral process, in the parliamentary elections, and in the referendum as well. They subjected them to a disciplinary committee, and that again was a breaking point where a large number of judges held a sit-in in their association in April of this year, just about a month ago, a month and a half ago. And people took to the street and held a sit-in in support of those judges in front of the Judges Association headquarters. Again, the police and the security forces went extremely violent and oppressed that sit-in, even up to the extent of beating one of the judges who came out of the Judges Association. They still subjected the two judges to the disciplinary action. One of them was cleared. The other one was mildly warned, but still that was totally unacceptable to the judge body. And people took to the streets again on the 25th of May of this year, the anniversary of the first constitution referendum on the presidential election law, and showed their discontent with what's happening and their objection to this lack of democracy, their objection for the interference of the government in the judiciary issues. The judges had also been asking for years now for a real system where the judiciary is independent and the ruling party is ignoring their demands. So things are escalating, and all around the world, Egyptians stood in support of this movement for the real true democratic reform in Egypt.
And how widespread are the movement activities in Egypt itself?
The movement, Egypt, as you were mentioning in your introduction, Egypt had seen a period of 25 years under emergency law since Sadat was assassinated in 1981. Till 2 years ago, there was until today actually the emergency law is in place, and it was just again, although Mubarak promised in his campaign running as for presidency in September of last year to end this emergency law and end the work by the emergency law. The parliament just renewed the emergency law again less than a month ago for another 2 years. So Egypt is ruled by an emergency law which makes any demonstration illegal, which gives the security forces a free hand to deal with the people. So there is still that fear, and there is still this uncertainty of the result of any uprising. But as I mentioned, over the past year and a half, 2 years, the size of the uprising and the number of people supporting is exponentially increasing day after day. And what's also very promising is that it's gaining a lot of support by Egyptians abroad, whether in the United States, whether in Britain, whether here in Canada. In both Toronto and Montreal, we had big actions, sizable actions in support of the movement in Egypt. And people are getting more and more courageous in the country itself, inside Egypt, to speak about it, to get to the streets. It's not only the judges now. The journalist union is taking positions. The academics in Cairo University are taking positions and taking to the street. So it is spreading in an encouraging way. And hopefully the regime would come to its senses and give in to the will of the people for freedom and real democracy.
Would it be fair to characterize the demonstrations as centered among the intelligentsia and professionals?
I think at this point it would be fair to characterize it as such. I think that the intelligentsia at this point took on its shoulder the responsibility to start this movement, but the discontent itself is far widespread than only among the intelligentsia. Discontent in Egypt is huge because the economic situation is getting from bad to worse day after day. Over the past 20, 25 years, despite the claims that things are getting better democratically or getting better economically, none of that is happening. people are starting to have difficulty. Even the middle class, even the upper middle class, are having difficulty running their daily affairs. So the discontent is very widespread. It is the ability or the know-how to move at this point that is I think still holding back the movement. But I think this will be overcome in the near future. I also was very encouraged by the movement by a new generation of Egyptians. Most of them are internet savvy, and most of them write blogs regularly on the internet. And this is a new way of expression in a country where there is a limited freedom in that aspect, but there is no freedom in the mainstream government-held media. So I guess this plays a strong alternative and gives people a way to contact, to connect with each other, and to know what's happening here and there.
How would you compare the current movement with the movements in the 70s and 60s in Egypt?
I think this movement is much more mature from the aspect that it's not partisan. It is neither just leftist or just Islamist or just wanting a certain ideology to rule the country. It is a movement that is asking for the right of everybody to speak and for the right of people to elect who they really see fit to rule the country. And in that way, it is quite different than what I have witnessed during my university days, for example, in the 70s. And again, in your introduction, you were mentioning Sheikh Imam and Ahmed Fuad Nigm, who moved the population during that time. I think that's one thing that's needed, by the way, today. I hope there is somebody who can carry the flag for such encouragement for the people to move. But the movement is much more mature right now, and it's asking for things that are tangible, that are clear, and that the regime can fulfill if they so choose, if they don't cling to their chairs at any price.
Well, thank you very much for informing us of these important developments in Egypt. We appreciate it greatly, Ahab.
Thank you very much, Mordecai.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Ahab Lataif in Montreal. He's a founder of Canadian Egyptians for Democracy. If you're interested in Ahab's poetry, photography, and articles on Iraq and Palestine, you will find a link by going to our website, cooperadio.org/redeye, and click on Current Show.